This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving home. I'm going to center that up a little bit. It's a nice warm day in the neighborhood. Let me roll my windows up so that it's easier to hear. And I'm on a bit of a chase today. Because I gotta go get the little guy. Because we're back in school. And I'd like to drop by the Walmart real quick, get some woolite. I think I mentioned that I'm doing a Star Trek The Next Generation costume for Star Trek Day. And that seems to be going well. I'm working on my mock-up now that I'm just doing with muslin, just to get the feel of the pieces and how things all join together. There's a little funky because this is one of the Star Trek scants, which are the mini dresses is what they are, that they actually had guys wearing in the first season of Star Trek The Next Generation. So it's a male costume because men wore it. So I'm working on that scant, and there's some funky construction in that thing. Because there's like underneath the mini dress, there is a thing that wraps around your leg and apparently keeps it from riding up, which is a good idea. And then there's also like this waist strap thing that kind of pulls in the waist a little bit. It's interesting. So there's a lot of little pieces. It is the person who made the pattern actually got a chance to take a lot of close-up photos of a real on-screen scant that was used in Star Trek The Next Generation. So it is faithful to what was on the show. I am cheating a little bit because there was a variation that was done for All Good Things, which was the very last episode, where they just put a zipper in the back, goes straight up the back. Whereas if I was going to be true to the show, per se, there's these two placements of these weird hidden zippers. I just looked at that and went, I don't think so. If I could just put a zipper in the back, and I actually wrote the guy who did the pattern and say, okay, now if I understand correctly, if I just put a zipper in the back, I don't have to do those weird front zippers. And he was like, oh, right. That just takes care of all that. So, okay, good. So anyways, I've got basically the front of it put together. And then I'm going to start working on the back of it tonight. And I would guess by this weekend, I will have the mock-up done. And then I can see actual length and if I need to do any alterations, anything like that, and then I'll have 2 weeks to get that put together. So I think we're in. Okay. I was getting ready to turn left, and there was a yellow light that already started in, and somebody decided they would go through on orange. So it was a good thing I didn't pull in front of them. Anyway, so that's fun. I did, and I actually got the material in for it. That particular costume, the first 3 seasons of Next Generation, they used something called jumbo spandex. That's a heavier spandex. After that, they went to a wool gabardine. But, you know, in interest of being true to the show, I did buy some jumbo spandex, and it came from Taiwan. So, but it came in. It's beautiful fabric. So I just want to make sure that I know what I'm doing before I start cutting into this fabric, because I have a little extra, but it's not like I've got a ton extra. So, you know, I want to be a little careful. But so far, I'm enjoying the sewing project. I mean, it's very, very interesting. I got to match some thread tomorrow. I got to take in the spandex and try to match thread colors for the accent color. Of course, the Star Trek The Next Generation costumes are black with then some sort of a divisional color in it. And I went ahead and went with the commander's color, which is a burgundy. It's not actually red, so we don't want to be a red shirt. It's like a burgundy, but it's a really pretty burgundy. and I have piping to match that, and then I've ordered a communicator that when you tap on it, it chirps and does the next-gen thing, and then I ordered the pips for the collar, so I'll make myself a commander. Not a captain, just a commander. Anyway, so at some point, I need to gently wash that spandex and then air dry it, but I don't have any woolite, and so I was just going to drop in real fast to Walmart here and get some woolite, or depending on the time and the schedule, I may just run and get Aiden. There was a nice thing that happened with Aiden yesterday, and I actually was going to talk to them about it yesterday. Last year, every day, they would bring Aiden out at like 3:50, and I would be in the line with the cars, because that's what the line is there for, and then we would sit there and wait till the line actually moved, and then we would go, and I had thought about asking them, so could I just meet you at the door and park over where I could get out? Because once you get in line, you're kind of locked in. And I never did ask them that, because I only did pickups and drop-offs for like the last month and a half. But we started up, and Tuesday I got in line and we did the thing. It was a little warm, and you know, so I kept having to start the car and cool the car down. And so yesterday I went, and I was there just a little later, and I got in the line, but I was at the back of the line, and then the person that kind of waved me in there, she came over, she said, you know, on second thought, she said, if you can get turned around or backed up, why don't you just go ahead and just park in one of those parking spaces over there? And she said, then you can just go to the door and pick up Aiden, and you can just go. That was a great idea. I said, well, you know, I kind of try to be somebody who kind of follows the rules, and if this was the line, I was going to get in the line. She said, but I was going to talk to you. She said, we love that about you, but you know what? Aiden is special. We will bring him out. I said, okay. So they have committed to bringing out Aiden every day to me. So I'm just going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to let him. Because it's going to be a lot easier. And it is 3:26. I have to be there at 3:50. I think I've got enough time to run in and get some woolite here real quick and say hello to a few people, get checked out, and then run and get Aiden. And so we're going to try to do something that I don't know that I've ever done in this recorder before. And that is, we're going to try to put it on pause and see what happens. I'm going to take it out of the window so it's not just baking in the window. And we'll see if we can get this done and then get over to get Aiden. And so let's get parked here. So here, let me see if I can figure out how to put this on pause. One moment. Okay. So, 8 minutes, we're going to put it on pause. Okay, so that did not work at all. It just shut me down, but I am out of the Walmart and on my way to pick up Aiden. So we'll just finish this up and I'll just seam these two together. Anyways, so writing is going fine. I'm up over 140,000 words, which I've got this weekend and next weekend. So, you know, we should be fine. I should be able to get to 150. I'm on middle of chapter 28, so we should be good. I think I know where I'm going for the rest of it, and I should have enough to get to 150,000 words, which is always the target. And I think it's going to be fine. You know, I think we are where we need to be. I think there will be spots in this where people will be going, oh, come on, get on with it. But it's all important stuff, you know, and it's all stuff that we need to kind of talk about, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I got myself a little snack when I was in there. So, for this week, I came across this YouTube video, and it was fun. It was so fun, and it was about the number 276. And I thought, you know, you haven't done anything just fun here for a long time. So let's talk about this. And specifically, it was about aliquot sequences. I love this kind of stuff because it's just numbers. And yet people figure out the most interesting things to do with numbers. So, an aliquot sequence is made up of two words, ala, which is alias, another way of thinking about, another way of naming, alias, and quote, Q-U-O-T, which means quotient, a part of. So to do an aliquot sequence, quote, aliquot sequence, what you do is you take a number and you get all of the factors of that number except for the number itself. So for instance, if you start with the number 8 and you look up the factors for that number, the factors for 8 are going to be, not including 8, are going to be 1, 2, and 7. No. No. 1, 2, and 4. And if you add up those numbers, you come to 7. And so 8, in terms of an aliquot sequence, is considered to be deficient. Its factors added up do not equal the number itself. However, if you start with something like 24, what you have for factors there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, and 12. And if you add all those up, it's something like 36, which means you actually end up with a bigger number than you started with. Those numbers are called abundant. Okay, well, that's fun. So then people have been taking each of the numbers and running them through these sequences and seeing what happens to those numbers. On average, in general, numbers will collapse to 1. So for instance, if you started with 8, you added up the aliquot sequence in it, that gives you 7. Then if you start at 7 and do it again, you end up with 1, because 7's a prime, so you just end up with 7 and 1, and you just end up with 1, and then once you hit 1, you're dead, because you're not supposed to take the number itself as part of the sequence, and so you hit 1, it's all over. So, the question then is, what else can happen? Well, as it turns out, there are numbers that can be paired to where when you run the sequence on them, it turns into another number. And then when you run the sequence on that, it turns back into the original number. Or they were showing one that was like a heartbeat. As it would go over and over, the size of the number would grow and grow, and then it would fall, and then it would hit the original number, and then it would just keep doing the thing. So that's pretty cool. However, there are like five numbers under 1,000. There are five numbers under 1,000. And this seems impossible, but it's what he said, that we don't know what happens to them. Because it gets so intense so quickly with these numbers that the computing power needed to resolve this sequence is so great that they just give up. This seems impossible with the computing power that we have. But according to the guy who was talking about this, he was actually showing the graph on one number over 2,000 sequences for that number. You know, they do the number, whatever the number they ended up with next, they do it for that number, whatever the number, they do it for that number, they do it for that number, they do it for that number. And the number just keeps climbing. And it gets to the point where there are so many digits in these numbers that you then have to factor all the factors in these numbers and then add up all the factors, which that's no big deal to add them up. But factoring can get to be a big deal. And he said for these five numbers, the lowest of which is 276, for these five numbers, mathematicians still don't know what happens to them. I mean, there are a lot of possibilities. They could get someplace where they'd start to collapse and they could collapse all the way back down to one. You know, they could, while they were collapsing, hit one of the previous numbers that they had hit and end up in some sort of a big monstrous loop. They could get to the place where they hit a number that was its pair, its twin, and just start going back and forth. But nobody knows. That's what's so interesting to me. That nobody knows. With all the massive computing power that we have, nobody knows. Well, Jesus knows, but, you know. So, I just thought that was really, really fun. And there are other videos that they do on different types of numbers. But these kinds of things, it's just, they're very interesting to me. I don't know why I find them so interesting, but it's just, they're like hidden gems, these little hidden gems in the world that's fun to think about and fun to explore. And, you know, for most people, it's probably like, who cares? It's just an anomaly. There's nothing to see there. You know, but for me, it's good. So, anyways, I have made it to pick up Aiden, and I'm actually 5 minutes early, which is good. It is 3:45, which is right about the time I like to get here. So I'm just gonna park my little car, and then I'm just gonna wander over to the door, which I'm very grateful for the kindness of Pleasant View for allowing me to do this. So, because they just said Aiden's special, it'll be fine. I said, okay, I'll go with it then. Anyways, so this is Phil Ferrand. I have not made it home, but we are home, well, close enough for now.